Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Propel Funeral Partners Limited Fiscal Year 2020 Results Briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Albin Kurti, Managing Director and Head of Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mike, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining Propel's 2020 full-year results briefing. I hope wherever you're listening to this, that you and your family are safe and well. With me are my colleagues, Lilli Gladstone and Fraser Henderson, and together, we'll take you through the presentation lodged with the ASX this morning. The emergence of COVID-19 has been the defining event of 2020 and has impacted most industries, including the funeral industry. So before we start, I'd like to thank all of Propel's dedicated staff in Australia and New Zealand for their hard work, professionalism, flexibility, and commitment to providing essential and caring services to their communities throughout FY 2020, especially since the start of the pandemic. I also acknowledge and express my sympathies to bereaved client families, many of whom have farewelled loved ones in particularly challenging circumstances in recent months. Turning to today's presentation. In terms of the agenda, I'll summarize the key highlights of FY 2020, the impact of and our responses to COVID-19, and I'll then provide a brief overview of the business. Lilli will cover the financial results in more detail. Fraser will touch on industry trends and acquisitions, and finally, I'll make some concluding remarks before taking questions. The three key takeaways from today's presentation are, firstly, FY 2020 was another record year for Propel, with the company exceeding guidance and generating significant revenue and earnings growth. Secondly, the company's diversification in providing essential funeral and related services across seven states and territories of Australia and in New Zealand, including regional and metropolitan markets, delivered considerable resilience in operating earnings and cash flows, particularly in recent months. And thirdly, with a strong funding position, no near-term debt maturities, the support of our dedicated staff, and the understanding of our client families, Propel is well placed to navigate COVID-related disruptions and uncertainties and to continue its disciplined acquisition-led growth strategy in what remains a highly fragmented industry. Please turn to slide six for the key highlights. Propel's revenue exceeded 100 million for the first time in FY 2020, increasing by 16.5% to 110.8 million on the back of a 17.6% increase in funeral volumes, including contributions from acquisitions. Average revenue per funeral was up 1.6% on the prior year and up 2.1% on a comparable basis. Propel continues to grow earnings, with operating EBITDA up 36.4% to 32.4 million and operating NPAT up 6.5% to 14.2 million, including the impacts of the new accounting standard for leases, AASB 16, which the company adopted on 1 July 2019. Lilli will step through those impacts shortly. However, it's important to note that this non-cash accounting change has had no economic impact on the company, its cash flows, or its operations, and on a consistent accounting basis, excluding the impacts of AASB 16, operating EBITDA and operating NPAT both increased materially, growing by circa 20% and 8% on the prior year, respectively. Cash conversion remains strong at 103.4%, which is pleasing. From a capital management perspective, in FY 2020, Propel expanded its senior debt facilities with Westpac to 150 million, providing additional funding capacity to support the company's growth strategy, which Lilli will cover in more detail. During the second half of FY 2020, the company prudently increased its liquidity position and, as at 30 June, had cash at bank of approximately $54 million and a net leverage ratio of 1.7 times, well below the covenant limit of 3 times, which can be increased to 3.5 times at the company's election. And the board has declared a final dividend of 6 cents per share, fully franked, resulting in total dividends of 10 cents per share, fully franked, in connection with FY20, representing a payout ratio of 85%. Since its IPO in November 2017, Propel has declared fully franked dividends totaling 27.9 cents per share, or circa 40 cents per share on a pre-tax basis. In terms of growth, Propel added 10 locations during the year, bringing its total network to 130 locations as at 30 June 2020. Management has been focused on executing Propel's acquisition-led growth strategy, committing approximately $126 million on acquisitions since the company's IPO. During the year, we expanded in Queensland, completing our largest acquisition to date, Gregson & Waite. We also expanded in New Zealand with the acquisition of Graham's Funeral Services. And we've purchased 3 freehold properties, 2 of which were previously tenanted by Propel. We are also pleased to announce today that Propel has executed a conditional sale agreement to acquire the business, assets and freehold property of Midwest Funerals in Geraldton in Western Australia, which Fraser will touch on. Completion of the Midwest Funerals acquisition and the previously announced acquisition of the Dills Group in New Zealand is expected to occur during the second quarter of FY21. In terms of our outlook, Propel's earnings resilience in FY20 has continued into the start of FY21, and the company expects to benefit from favourable demographics, a strong funding position, acquisitions signed and completed to date, and other potential future acquisitions. I'll talk more about our outlook towards the end of the presentation, and we'll now touch on key COVID impacts and some of our responses. In late March, the Australian and New Zealand funeral industries confronted unprecedented disruption and uncertainty following the introduction of funeral attendee limits. As you can see from the illustrative timeline on slide 8, limits on funeral attendance and other social distancing measures resulted in what I would describe as a ground zero event for the funeral industry in the month of April, when funeral attendance was limited to just 10 mourners throughout Australia and was prohibited throughout New Zealand, a very difficult time for client families and our staff. I won't go through each of the dates, but you can see that funeral attendee limits changed frequently during the final quarter of FY20, and our staff and client families had to adapt quickly to these changes. As at today's date, you can see that restrictions differ between states and territories in Australia and New Zealand, with funeral attendance in Victoria and Auckland currently the strictest, limited to 10 mourners. We expect those restrictions to ease over the coming days and weeks, and we welcome yesterday's announcement in New Zealand that funeral attendance in Auckland will increase to 50 mourners from next Monday. Turning to slide 9. These restrictions affected the company's ability to offer a full range of services to client families and temporarily resulted in a higher mix of lower value funerals performed across Propel's network. As illustrated in the chart at the top of this slide, average revenue per funeral was impacted in the final quarter of FY20. In the month of April, when funeral attendees were limited to 10 mourners throughout Australia and prohibited throughout New Zealand, average revenue per funeral declined by circa 14% compared to the prior 9-month period. However, as restrictions began to ease from late April onwards, funeral mix improved significantly and average revenue per funeral increased in the 2 subsequent months, reverting to pre-COVID levels in June. Funeral volumes were also impacted. As illustrated in the chart at the bottom of the bottom right of this slide, in the final quarter of FY20, flu cases in Australia were more than 95% below the prior five-year average. And unusually, there was only one flu death in the quarter. Although there were 106 COVID deaths in Q4 across Australia and New Zealand, this is significantly less than the number of flu and flu-related deaths historically experienced in that three-month period. In Q4, Propel's funeral volumes also cycled a strong PCP and were approximately 350 below our pre-COVID expectations. We experienced a swing in the company's 12-month rolling comparable funeral volume growth from positive 1% as at 30 April to negative 2.2% as at 30 June 2020. Social distancing measures, travel restrictions, and increased focus on personal hygiene and effective flu vaccinations in recent months have contributed to a benign 2020 flu season to date and may result in a deferral of death volumes into future periods. Slide 10 sets out some of our responses to COVID and how we, our staff, and our client families have had to adapt. Our focus has been on people safety, essential service continuity, and financial resilience. I won't go through each point listed on this slide, but the measures implemented range from ensuring access to sufficient PPE supplies, staff working from home where feasible, reducing and rearranging seating capacity in our chapels, increasing the scheduled time between services, increased online streaming of funerals, changing the way funerals are arranged, reducing operating costs, ceasing non-essential capital expenditure, accessing government subsidies where eligible, and prudently increasing the company's liquidity level. I want to particularly highlight and thank those staff who agreed to temporary changes in their employment terms during the months of April and May, such as reduced hours and more flexible working arrangements. Those temporary changes helped to ensure the company maintained staffing levels during what was a very uncertain two-month period and a return to normal staff settings in June. I also acknowledge and thank our independent directors and the manager who, at the time we were asking some of our staff to temporarily change employment terms, agreed to waive 100% of their fees for the months of April and May. I'll now provide a brief overview of the company. Slide 12 illustrates how Propel's network has evolved over the past 7 years. We started with one funeral home in Queensland, and today we operate from 130 locations across Australia and New Zealand, including 31 cremation facilities and 9 cemeteries. Of those 130 locations, the company owns 72 of the properties. Slide 13 shows Propel's main operating brands in Australia and in New Zealand. Each brand has a distinct identity and is well known in their respective markets. Some have been around for many decades. For example, in Tasmania, Millingtons has been operating in and around Hobart for over 100 years. And in New Zealand, Davis Funerals has operated in and around Auckland since 1875. The green dotted lines show those brands added to Propel's network in FY20 and those expected to be acquired in Q2 of FY21. These brands are an important part of the goodwill of each business. The charts on slide 14 illustrate Propel's historic growth in funeral volumes and revenue. As you can see on the left, the company performed over 13,000 funerals in FY20, up 17.6%. The chart on the right shows that Propel generated revenue of $110.8 million in FY20, up 16.5%. The charts on slide 15 illustrate Propel's historic growth in operating earnings. As you can see on the left, the company generated operating EBITDA of $32.4 million in FY20, a more than tenfold increase since FY15, and up 36.4% on the prior year. On a consistent accounting basis, operating EBITDA growth was approximately 20%. The chart on the right shows that Propel generated operating NPAT of $14.2 million, up 6.5%. On a consistent accounting basis, operating NPAT growth was 8.4%. The chart on slide 16 shows Propel's average revenue per funeral since FY14, which has grown at a compound annual growth rate of 2.5%. In FY20, average revenue per funeral was up 1.6% on the prior year and up 2.1% on a comparable basis. Turning to slide 17. Cash conversion continues to be a key focus. As you can see from this chart, Propel's cash conversion has remained consistently high, averaging approximately 99% during the last 6 years. In FY20, cash conversion remains strong at approximately 103%, which is pleasing, particularly given the continued growth in operating cash flow. Turning to slide 18. Before I hand over to Lily, I want to briefly touch on the company's performance since its IPO. Propel listed on the ASX in November 2017, and as you can see from the chart on this slide, as at 30 June 2020, Propel's share price has materially outperformed the ASX index and its only listed domestic peer. Investors who participated in Propel's IPO and who have retained their shareholding at 30 June 2020 have received a total shareholder return of approximately 23% on a pre-tax basis, including dividends. This equates to total shareholder value accretion since IPO of approximately $63 million pre-tax. On behalf of everyone involved with Propel, I thank shareholders for their ongoing support. I'll now hand over to Lily, who'll provide some further detail on the FY20 financial results.
Thanks, Alban, and good morning, everyone. Propel's FY20 financial results prove resilient, despite COVID-19-related disruptions in Q4. And pleasingly, the company exceeded full-year revenue and operating EBITDA guidance. Today, I will cover off on five key areas. Firstly, I'll provide an overview of the company's statutory financial results via an analysis of the income statement. Secondly, I'll highlight the key impacts of the accounting standard for leases, AASB 16, on the FY20 results. Thirdly, I'll touch on key growth drivers of revenue, operating EBITDA and margin. I'll then provide an analysis of the cash flows and wrap up by touching on the balance sheet and capital management. Please turn to slide 20. Propel generated revenue of $110.8 million in FY20, an increase of 16.5% on the prior year. The increase was driven by the full year impact of 5 acquisitions completed in FY19 and the part year impact of 2 acquisitions completed during the year. Furthermore, the performance was impacted by growth in average revenue per funeral, partially offset by lower than expected funeral volumes in the last quarter. Propel reported a gross margin of 71.8%, which was 110 basis points higher than FY19. The increase was primarily due to the financial profile of recent acquisitions, which included cremation facilities and funeral mix in Q4. The company generated statutory operating EBITDA of $32.4 million in FY20, an increase of 36.4% on the prior year. It was positively impacted by the adoption of AASB 16, which I'll cover shortly, acquisitions, and measures introduced to mitigate the financial impacts of COVID-19, including recognition of wage subsidies for eligible businesses in Australia and New Zealand of approximately $1.5 million. In terms of other items of note on the income statement, as disclosed in November last year, a $4.1 million performance fee was paid to the manager following a total shareholder return of 24.2% during the second calculation period, which exceeded the benchmark of 8%. Acquisition costs of $1.6 million were in line with the prior year and primarily related to stamp duty. Net interest expense increased materially as a result of AASB 16 and the company increasing its borrowings. Propel generated operating NPAT of $14.2 million in FY20, up 6.5% on the prior year. Income tax expense was positively impacted by the reinstatement of tax depreciation deductions on non-residential buildings in New Zealand, which have resulted in a reduction in Propel's deferred tax liability and income tax expense of $1.1 million. The adjusted effective tax rate for the year was 29.7%, after accounting for non-deductible expenses, non-assessable income, and the one-off restatement of the New Zealand deferred tax liability. The next two slides summarise the impacts of AASB 16 on operating EBITDA and operating NPAT. Propel adopted AASB 16 on 1 July 2019 under the modified retrospective approach, and therefore the prior year has not been restated. For ease of comparison, on slide 21, we have shown operating EBITDA on a consistent or pro forma accounting basis compared to the prior year, that is, excluding the impact of AASB 16. On that pro forma basis, operating EBITDA growth was 19.7%. Under AASB 16, occupancy and other lease expenses are excluded, and therefore operating EBITDA increased by $4 million during the year. This partially contributed to the 36.4% increase in statutory operating EBITDA. Slide 22 sets out the impact of AASB 16 on operating NPAT. Essentially, occupancy and other lease expenses have been replaced with depreciation and interest charges. On a consistent accounting or pro forma basis, operating NPAT increased 8.4%, and on a statutory basis, it increased 6.5%. Importantly, the adoption of AASB 16 had no cash impact and resulted in no change to Propel's operations. Please note that more detailed disclosures relating to AASB 16 are set out in the appendices of today's presentation and the annual report. The waterfall on slide 23 sets out the sources of revenue growth on the prior year. The chart shows the full year impact of 5 acquisitions made in FY19, the part year impact of 2 acquisitions completed during the year, and organic for businesses held for 12 months or longer. Propel generated significant revenue and margin growth despite COVID-19 impacts in Q4. For the full year, as you can see from the comments on the bottom left of the slide, average revenue per funeral increased 1.6% and funeral volumes increased 17.6%. In terms of organic, in the centre of this slide, comparable businesses experienced a 2.1% increase in average revenue per funeral, which was positively influenced by sales mix and pricing, offset by funeral mix in Q4. As disclosed in May, Propel's rolling 12-month comparable funeral volume growth to 30 April 2020 was circa 1%. However, in the final 2 months of FY20, the company cycled a strong PCP of comparable funeral volumes. Reported flu cases in Australia were more than 95% below the prior 5-year average. And as Alban said earlier, Propel's funeral volumes were circa 350 below our pre-COVID expectations. This resulted in comparable funeral volumes being 2.2% lower than FY19. As you can see from the bottom right of this slide, the operating EBITDA margin was 29.2%, 420 basis points above the prior year. The margin was influenced by the impact of AASB 16, which accounted for 350 basis points. Improved gross margin, the financial metrics of recent acquisitions, and good cost control, with comparable funeral OPEX in line with FY19. On a pro forma or consistent accounting basis, the operating EBITDA margin was 70 basis points above FY19. As you can see on slide 24, cash flows from operating activities increased by circa 24% to $21.5 million. It was positively impacted by higher earnings and lower outflows in respect of reclassification of lease payments, net of interest due to AASB 16. It was partially offset by the payment of the performance fee and increased interest paid on borrowing. Management focus and positive movements in working capital contributed to strong cash flow conversion of 103.4%. In respect of investing activities, Propel deployed approximately $46 million in connection with acquisitions, acquired three freehold properties, two of which were previously leased, and incurred capital expenditure of $4.1 million. I note that maintenance capex represented approximately 3.1% of revenue, within our target range of 3-5%. The financing activities largely reflect senior debt drawn down to fund acquisitions and to prudently increase cash at bank in Q4 in light of COVID-19, and dividends paid during the year. In respect of AASB 16, the cash flow statement was impacted by the reclassification of lease expenses to interest and other financing cash flows, but as mentioned earlier, this did not impact cash flow conversion. Moving to slide 25, there are four main points on the balance sheet. One, as at year end, Propel had cash at bank of approximately $54 million and net debt of $55.9 million. Two, the 72 freehold properties owned by Propel are held at cost at approximately $103 million. Three, in connection with AASB 16, Propel has recognised right-of-use assets of $39 million and lease liabilities of $41 million, resulting in an immaterial change to net assets. And four, Propel's prepaid contract funds total $47.5 million. The funds associated with prepaid contracts are principally invested with third-party friendly societies who largely invest the funds in cash and fixed interest. In accordance with accounting standards, the asset increases by the investment return generated during your reporting period, and the liability increases by the financing charge. The difference between those two amounts is recognised in the income statement. The contract turns at need when the service is delivered. At that time, revenue is recognised and the liability is extinguished. In FY20, approximately 9% of Propel's Australian funeral volumes were attributable to prepaid contracts that turned at need, similar to FY19. And I note that there are no prepaid contracts in the New Zealand business. Turning to slide 26, in respect of capital management, Propel expanded its senior debt facilities to $150 million in December 2019, which now comprises of four tranches. Tranches A, B and C mature in August 2022, and tranche D matures the following year. After allowing for funds required for binding cash commitments, Propel has available funding capacity of approximately $67 million. And as at 30 June 2020, Propel remained comfortably in compliance with its debt covenants, reporting a net leverage ratio of 1.7 times. Earlier today, the board declared a final dividend of 6 cents per share fully franked, resulting in total fully franked dividends of 10 cents per share in connection with FY20, representing a payout ratio of 85%. I'll now hand over to Fraser, who will cover industry trends and acquisitions.
Thank you, Lily, and good morning, everyone. Some of you may be familiar with the graphs on slide 28, which show that the number of deaths is forecast to both increase and accelerate in the countries in which Propel has operations, namely Australia and New Zealand. Death volumes is the most significant driver of revenue in the death care industry. In Australia, the ABS forecasts that death volumes will increase by 2.5% per annum from 2018 to 2029, and 2% per annum from 2029 to 2050, whereas in New Zealand, Stats NZ forecast that death volumes will increase by 1.1% per annum from 2019 to 2030, accelerating to 1.8% per annum from 2030 to 2050. Few industries have the benefit of the certainty of that sort of tailwind. However, death volume growth is not necessarily linear and can fluctuate from time to time. As Alvin mentioned, social distancing measures, travel restrictions, an increased focus on personal hygiene and effective flu vaccinations in recent months may result in short-term volatility and a deferral of death volumes into future periods. The funeral industry is highly fragmented in both Australia and New Zealand, with Propel the second largest in both countries. Slide 29 shows how Propel's estimated market share in Australia, based on reported number of funerals performed and estimated Australian deaths in 2019, has grown in the last four calendar years from circa 1.2% in 2015 to circa 6.3% in 2019. However, it is worth noting that notwithstanding that significant increase, over 70% of the market is still owned by entities other than Propel and the largest operator. Turning to slide 30, Propel remains focused on executing its acquisition-led investment strategy. Since its IPO in November of 2017, Propel has deployed and or committed over $125 million on acquisitions. As illustrated in the table on this slide, the acquisitions in aggregate are, on an annual basis, expected to contribute more than 5,500 funerals and over 3,000 third-party cremations to the group, and over $50 million in revenue. The acquisitions are geographically spread across Australia and New Zealand, have brands with distinct identities, and are well known in their respective markets. We're delighted that our new partners have joined or will shortly join the Propel network. During the year, we expanded in Queensland, completing our largest acquisition to date, Gregson and Wade, and we also expanded in New Zealand with the acquisition of Graham's Funeral Services. It is also pleasing to announce today the proposed acquisition of Midwest Funerals in Geraldton, Western Australia, which we expect will complete in Q2 of FY21. Midwest Funerals performs approximately 120 funerals per annum and will be a bolt-on acquisition for Seasons Funerals, our Perth-based business in Western Australia. Finally, in relation to the Dills Group, the period between exchange and completion has been longer than either party expected, but we are pleased with the recent progress on the subdivision application, which is the final condition precedent involving third parties. And as Alvin mentioned, we expect it too to complete in Q2 of FY21. From an integration perspective, many of the matters that would usually occur only post-settlement are well advanced, so integration of the Dills Group should be quite seamless. Moving forward, management will continue to explore other potential acquisition opportunities, but the timing of any future acquisitions, as you would appreciate, remains uncertain. I'll now hand back to Alvin.
Thanks, Fraser. In terms of the outlook, Propel continues to be well positioned to generate sustainable long-term growth and value creation. Propel operates in a fragmented and essential service industry with assets and infrastructure that are difficult to replicate, which stands to benefit from favourable demographic tailwinds. Although death volume growth is certain, unavoidable and predictable over the longer term, it's not linear and it fluctuates over time. In other words, death is certain, but its timing is not. Historical experience suggests that the lower than expected death volumes in recent months should be temporary, given prior period declines have rebounded quickly and the growing and ageing population. Encouragingly, despite a soft market backdrop and COVID-related disruptions, the financial resilience demonstrated by Propel in the final quarter of FY20 has continued into the start of FY21. In the month of July, average revenue per funeral continued to improve, with growth over the PCP within the company's 2-4% target range. And Propel performed approximately 1,200 funerals in the month, which was in line with the PCP, but was below expectations across most markets in which the company operates, suggesting a potential deferral of death volumes into future periods. However, it's still very early in the new financial year, and as discussed, death volumes fluctuate, so caution is required when forecasting over short time horizons. In terms of the company's financial results, we expect to benefit from a growing and ageing population, the company's strong funding position, acquisitions signed and completed to date, and other potential future acquisitions. However, we do expect COVID-related disruptions and uncertainties to continue, especially in hotspot areas where funeral attendance is very limited, as is currently the case in Victoria and Auckland. Whilst we are obviously monitoring the situation, it should be noted that less than 20% of Propel's operating earnings are generated in Victoria and Auckland. Although it is expected that average revenue per funeral will be impacted in hotspot areas, our ground zero experience in April and the recovery since demonstrates that the financial impacts of funeral attendee limits have been temporary and average revenue per funeral has rebounded quickly as restrictions have eased. This not only reinforces the value that society places on physical attendance at a funeral service as a vital part of the grieving process, it also highlights the defensive nature and the social infrastructure characteristics of Propel's network of funeral homes, cremation facilities, and cemeteries. In conclusion, and as I summarised at the outset, I think the three key takeaways from our presentation today are: one, FY20 was another record year for Propel, with the company exceeding guidance and generating significant revenue and earnings growth. Two, the company's diversification in providing essential funeral and related services across 7 states and territories of Australia and in New Zealand, including regional and metropolitan markets, delivered considerable resilience in operating earnings and cash flows, particularly in recent months. And three, with a strong funding position, no near-term debt maturities, the support of our dedicated staff and the understanding of client families, Propel is well placed to navigate COVID-related disruptions and uncertainties and to continue its disciplined acquisition-led growth strategy in what remains a highly fragmented industry. With that, I'll hand back to the moderator to invite questions.
Hey, thank you, sir. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your telephone, and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your questions. Again, that is star, then 1 to ask a question. We will just pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And the first question we have will come from Sam Haddad of Bell Potter Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Alvin, Lily and Fraser, and congratulations on the resilient result.
Good morning, Sam. Thank you. It's a credit to all the staff across Propel's network in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah. Obviously, the outlook remains highly uncertain, so just wanted to dwell on trends in entering FY21 again. So just on the average revenue per funeral in August, I understand there's, you know, headwinds with renewed restrictions. Can you give any colour of how that's trended versus July?
We haven't made any public statements about August, Sam. Obviously, we've still got a few days to go, but but I think I've called out the restrictions where they're strictest at the moment in Victoria and in Auckland, limited to 10 mourners. So we have seen an impact in those hotspot areas. But as I said during the presentation, we expect that those impacts will be temporary, and as we experience since April, we expect it to rebound pretty quickly as those restrictions ease. And we do note that that in the last 24 hours in Auckland, there was an announcement that funeral attendee limits will increase to 50 from next Monday. So that's obviously a positive step.
And the main variable is the mix between sort of maybe direct cremations and more traditional services. Is that right? That's what's the drive of your average revenue per funeral through these restriction periods?
Yeah, that's right, Sam. So what we saw, particularly in April, and still to a degree since then, was a significant shift towards, you know, basic lower value funerals, direct cremations, direct burials. So that was a significant mix shift in April in particular. And what we also saw is as soon as the restrictions started to ease, we saw the mix reverting back to pre-COVID levels. And in fact, through June and July, I think we were pretty much back to where we were prior to April.
Are there any pricing repercussions in those different segments on the back of those shifts? Like, are you still able to increase your prices through this disruption?
Well, I think we've disclosed that the month of July, we saw a continuing recovery in average revenue per funeral, and that the growth on the PCP was within our 2-4% target range.
And that would be predominantly price, I assume.
Pricing and mix, yep.
Just on the volume outlook as well, I think you mentioned it was sort of widespread across most markets in terms of the recent underperformance, in terms of expectations. Just more colour on that in that respect, please, like regionally and you know, what trends you've seen between states.
Yeah. So I think it's fair to say, Sam, that you know, in most markets that we operate, funeral volumes were below our pre-COVID expectations, especially in Q4. I won't go into specifics, but from a comparable volume perspective, what I would say is that generally we fared slightly better in New Zealand than in Australia. Whereas the opposite was the case with respect to average revenue per funeral. And generally, our regional locations were slightly less impacted than our metropolitan locations during Q4. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a flavour.
Yeah. And just in terms of the, with all the state border restrictions and flight restrictions, is that how does that impact your ability to conduct DD on new prospect acquisitions and complete on acquisitions that you've already started?
I mean, what it does is changes our ability to get there. But I mean, I think we've travelled far and wide previously. So most of the ones that we're in active discussions on, we've visited the locations. But it obviously frustrates our ability to travel in order to complete. So like the Dill transaction, that will be done virtually. Midwest Funerals in Geraldton, which we touched on earlier on, given our presence in WA, that will be done locally through the seasons management team rather than us in Sydney. So it's more around sort of the practicalities of it rather than the changing the strategy or how we develop it.
I might just add, Fraser, that Sam, we've screened, I think, over 170, 175 acquisition opportunities over the last sort of 7 years, and you know, we've completed or signed 32, 33 of them. So There's many out there that we have previously engaged with, visited. So from that perspective, that's helpful that we've physically visited numerous sites. But your point, your question is valid. If there was a new acquisition opportunity arise that we haven't visited and we can't physically get to, that will pose a slight challenge in the short term.
And just more broadly on the macro thematics, given COVID disruption and what you're seeing the impacts are in terms of whether you're a smaller funeral service provider versus the larger listed players in the market, are you seeing any trends there and what that means in terms of engagement with vendors and your acquisition pipeline?
No, not really. I mean, I think the industry is not immune from the impact of COVID, Sam. I think it's rare in this industry that they have to sell. So I think our expectation is that we and them will look through the impact of COVID in terms of valuation and in terms of the physical impact of COVID and the stresses that might bring on the workforce. That might bring forward a vendor's intention to have a discussion with us or others, but I think that will evolve over time.
Yeah, because pricing becomes difficult, doesn't it, trying to work out what your normalised EBITDA number becomes.
Yeah, but as I say, I mean, I think we and they would look through that. I mean, this is the impact of COVID, as Alvin's talked about, in terms of impact on volume and average revenue for funeral, but we rarely look at the last 6 months in terms of value in this business, that we look at on a historic and then tend to normalise anomalies like this.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just final question, just on the CapEx outlook for 21, is that still within the 3-5% range or at the top end of the range, really?
Yeah, so Sam, we obviously delivered 3.1% from a maintenance CapEx perspective in FY20. You're right, our range for 21 is still within the 3-5% from a maintenance perspective. But I will call out that in addition to that, from a growth perspective, we've got a couple of projects on the go at the moment. And we've also earmarked another freehold property that we currently lease that we will acquire. So from a growth perspective, I'd assume another $5 to $10 million of CapEx from that perspective.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sam.
Again, as a reminder, if you'd like to participate in today's Q&A, please press star, then one on the touchtone phone. Again, that is star, then one to ask a question. Again, we will just pause momentarily. Well, at this time, there appear to be no further questions. I will go ahead and the conference call back over to Mr. Curdy for any closing remarks. Sir?
Well, thank you all for joining today's call. Lily, Fraser, and I hope that you and your loved ones stay safe, and we look forward to catching up with some of you virtually over the coming days and obviously providing further updates on the company's progress as and when appropriate. Thanks, everyone.
And we thank you, sir, and to the rest of the management team for your time also today. Again, the conference call is now concluded. At this time, you may disconnect your lines. Thank you again, everyone. Take care and have a wonderful day.